Welcome to this episode of the Lance Womack Show. I'm really excited about something that I'm watching. It's like the gunfight of the OK Corral. I'm watching something with our guy Elon Musk, who's facing off with the entire government and Justice Department of Brazil. I actually heard, it was Steve Crowder said something, it can't be true, that the government of Brazil is going to want to have access to Elon Musk or arrest him or something because he's interfering with their government policy. They have outlawed Twitter in the country and they intend to shut it down. And he's defying them because he didn't lose $44 billion on Twitter in order to be bullied by some foreign country about freedom of speech. This is something which he is principled about. Thank God for people like that. I mean, I hate to say it. So if you hate to say it, why would you say it, Lance? Well, I'm going to say it because I feel like saying it. I mean, the guy doesn't espouse to be a believer, but he's got more courage and he's willing to put more money on the table for principle than a lot of pastors who will compromise their message because they're afraid of losing a tither in their church. There, I said it. But what I'm really thinking right now is that we're living in the era where spheres are at war. You see Trump like defying a court order from what looks to me like a corrupt, arbitrary judge, which is weaponized like Brazil, where the government is taking control of the media and the courts and trying to say, as this expansive totalitarian beast starts to wrap its arms around your freedom, and the corrupt judges say, you can't talk, but you're going to come into D.C., you're going to come into New York City, where we control the environment, and in that environment, we will convict you. And Trump's basically saying, oh, the heck with you. It's an interesting question of sphere authority. At what point does Martin Luther King actually win the moral argument by defying a court order to stand down when he's protesting or to show up and go into the restaurant where he's not allowed because he's black? This is called civil disobedience, and it has to do with spheres that are in conflict with each other. It's an interesting, it's a new era because we're losing, when you lose righteousness, then you start having this collapse of boundaries. And you no longer have what's called mediating institutions, which is like the church or the school or the media, where society debates ideas and they come to conclusions about them. You're losing the power of the mediating institution, which is there to take the pressure relief valve so that you got exchange of viewpoints, and you're suppressing it and forcing silence. Well, when you suppress something, you only build it up someplace else. And we're living in that period of time right now, where instead of having meaningful conversations about what you're doing in Brazil with your opposition, you just silence them, you arrest them, you lock them up. That's not really a policy for building peace, is it? But you're living there now. Now, in the consequences of this thing economically, I'm always watching at this stuff. I've been saying all along, I'm no financial advisor, I'm no financial expert by any means, but I look at the people that are, just like I do with other areas of political science or medical science or in other architecture within the universe. I like to find the people that have distinctions that really see what's going on. And I got turned on to the realization in Haggai that the silver is mine and the gold is mine. When everything shakes, I'm still going to be at work doing something. And then I started looking at the beginning of the new year. I was telling you guys, pay attention to gold, pay attention to silver. Because the way they're handling the paper dollar here is like a dumpster fire. If you put your value in something that can last the fire, then you saved that dollar value in something called gold or silver. And sure enough, man, I just checked it out with my son. From December, like the price of gold was like $2,135 an ounce. Now it's $2,335. That's a 9% increase. I know people that'll go high and low trying to find some investment, some money market, some stock where they can get 9%, 8%, 10%. This is in a couple of months. That's why I'm telling you, go to lancewalnow.com/gold. lancewalnow.com/gold. That's where you want to go because I want to get you informed as to what's happening in the precious metals market, in the money markets, in the gold and silver, in all areas are going to impact you economically. You need to be aware that the spheres are in collision now. Boom, media, academia, government, church, and religion. They're all coming into a kind of a pressure zone, and you need to know exactly how to prepare for the future. That's lancewalmer.com/gold. And today's show, we're going to go into what's happening with Musk, what's happening with Trump, what's happening with the January 6th situation going on with a grandma who is up for sentencing for 3 years. And Rick Green was, my guest, was actually helping to represent her in her court trial. And I want you to catch all that right here on the Lance Wallace Show. Let's get into the broadcast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this next episode of the Lance Wallace Show. And you know, as we're coming into this hectic political season, eclipses happening, bridges collapsing, lightning striking the Statue of Liberty, and then we have Mercedes Sparks right over here joining me on the show. And today, I have a special joy because, you know, I get to do these news programs like Flashpoint with my friends, but today I get to interview one of them and bring him on, and that's always going to be a special joy. I want you to meet Rick Green. Those of you that probably remember him from Flashpoint, if you don't, Rick Green is a former Texas state representative. He's a speaker, and he heads up the ever-expanding Patriot Academy. And so, Rick, welcome. How many people do you have learning about the Constitution in the Patriot Academy right now?
Hey, Lance, good to see you, man. Mercedes, thank you all for having me. You know, it's hard to say. About a million have been through one of our Constitution classes. We got 28,000 coaches that are out there hosting them in their living rooms or at their churches. You know, sometimes it's 3 or 4 people sitting around studying together. Sometimes it's 300 or 400. But it's really cool, man. There's a lot of interest in the things that you and I have been talking about for decades. The window of opportunity right now with all the bad stuff going on for us to convert millions of people to the principles of biblical liberty, it's huge, man. We've got a great opportunity.
Yeah, I really do think it's not a mistake to say that America is having an awakening in the sense of it's waking up. There's a large part of this country that are looking at what's happening. I mean, and I'm seeing it. I always bring these guys in the conversation. It's the Joe Rogans and the Elon Musks. They're, to me, the bubble in the middle of where America's real conversation is. It certainly isn't MSNBC and CNN. Those guys are ideologues. I mean, they're like the Marxist professor on the campus. They're not going to change because of current events. But there is a movement happening, and a lot of it is just people asking questions like, this isn't good, is it? Like, for instance, I want to jump in on this story real fast, and it's the Elon Musk story. Rick, I want to get your take on it. Play the soundbite for this guy who is not a conservative. He's just a journalist, and he's observing what's happening with Brazil, because Brazil is kind of like little America in the same way that Colorado is a little California. It's the evidence of where the left wants to take the United States. Play that soundbite.
Hey, everyone. It's Mike Schellenberger, and I'm reporting to you at this moment from Brazil, where a dramatic series of events are underway. At 5:52 p.m. Eastern Time today, April 6, 2024, X Corporation, formerly known as Twitter, announced that a Brazilian court had forced it to, quote, block certain popular accounts in Brazil. Then, less than 1 hour later, the owner of X, Elon Musk, announced that X would defy the court's order and lift all restrictions. As a result, said Musk, we will probably lose all revenue in Brazil and have to shut down our office there. But principles matter more than profit, he added. At any moment, Brazil's Supreme Court could shut off all access to X Twitter for the people of Brazil. It is not an exaggeration to say that Brazil is on the brink of dictatorship at the hands of a totalitarian Supreme Court justice named Alexandre de Moraes. President Lula da Silva is also participating in this push towards totalitarianism. Since taking office, Lula has massively increased government funding of the mainstream corporate news media, most of which are encouraging increased censorship. What Lula and de Moraes are doing is an outrageous violation of Brazil's constitution as well as the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. 3 days ago, I arrived in Brazil and published the Twitter files for Brazil. They show that de Moraes has violated the Brazilian constitution in multiple ways. He illegally demanded that Twitter reveal private information about Twitter users who used hashtags that he considered inappropriate. He demanded access to Twitter's internal data, violating the platform's policy. He censored on his own initiative without any respect for due process posts on Twitter by parliamentarians from the Brazilian Congress. and Moraes tried to turn Twitter's content moderation policies into a weapon against supporters of then-President Jair Bolsonaro. I say all of this as an independent and nonpartisan journalist, not a fan of either Bolsonaro or Trump. My own political views are very moderate, but I know censorship when I see it.
All right, so let's get Elon's response to this. And it's he wrote his own X tweet here. Coming shortly, X will publish everything demanded by Alejandre, this is the Supreme Court Justice, and how those requests violate Brazilian law. Like, they want the internal data on everyone who's doing direct messaging. In other words, they want to identify all the enemies and kind of hunt them down. This judge has brazenly and repeatedly betrayed the Constitution and people of Brazil. He should resign and be impeached. Rick, there's two stories here, I think. One is this shifting of spheres as government, like the United States, reaches out of its constitutional defined territory and starts to exercise a broad dictatorial intrusion into media and freedom of speech. It's the beginning of the failure of the constitutional republics in the West, and we should be watching this closely. Elon represents another interesting phenomenon. If you look at the mountains, the mountain of government is saying, shut down media. And there's a guy who's a titan in media saying, not so fast. I'm going to expose exactly what you're up to. And then you deal with the fallout when your whole nation gets knocked off of access to Twitter because you are shutting down freedom of speech. I think he's going into a OK Corral scenario. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I'm picturing Val Kilmer saying, I'm your Huckleberry. I mean, that's exactly the way I see it, too. You know, and he's been saying, listen, I spent, what was it, $45 billion or whatever to try and save free speech. I mean, this is a guy, that tweet that you share principles, or the quote, principles over profits. This is phenomenal. And the fact that they're doing this, you know, the same thing is happening here. Both justice systems in Brazil and America are on the brink. We've watched it with the J6 stuff. You know, I haven't even had a chance to talk to you yet about going out and testifying in Rebecca Lawrence's show trial. I'm trying to think of nice ways to say this. It was awful, Lance. It showed me how broken our justice system is. And the same thing's happening in Brazil. And without a good justice system, you cannot have a free country. So we always say it's Orwellian, this control of the narrative, the control of media, the control of free speech and all that. It really is. I mean, we're entering that phase. But you alluded to the positive side of this, which is the Joe Rogans, the Elon Musk, the people that really are the influencers of our day, much more so than any of the news outlets. Those especially those long-form podcasts, that's where people are getting their opinions. That's where they're getting their news. That's where they're getting a heads up on what's going on. And I can't think of anyone with a massive audience like that that has been moving left over the last few years. They all seem to be moving our direction. They all seem to be moving the right direction, Rogan and Musk being the most obvious, but there's a lot of the smaller audience ones as well. So, man, I think that's a huge positive thing. It's really a reaction to the pain, right? The tough times are starting, and so people are starting to feel the pain, and so they're like, hey, wait a minute, how do we get back to the good times? So they're starting to look for a better way, and I think that's a positive aspect of it.
Yeah, and I think there's a big psychological divide between the two worlds. On the left, I mean, I'm listening to Larry David the other day, who's talking about how he dreads the thought of Donald Trump, someone like that, being in office. And right away, I could picture, like, you remember, like, Get Smart, where they had, like, the dome of silence would come down over their heads? There's a dome that comes down over certain areas from the liberal left Hollywood crowd, the New York Times liberal, the academic crowd. You can even geographically pick it out where it's coastal elite crowds. And they're literally viewing the world through a totally different lens. But the average person who's waking up to what's going on is breaking to freedom, which is really breaking to our side, which is saying, this is a dangerous overreach. And I'm wondering, when, like, the line I heard there, internal data, they're requesting internal data like the CIA and the FBI was working on Twitter before it got taken over by Musk. Internal data so that they could do what? Silence and suppress and target the influencers who are in the people that are resisting. That's the only thing I could think of. They're operating. By the way, this, for those of you that aren't familiar with the drama here, I was a Bolsonaro fan for a while because he was called the Trump of the tropics. That's how I first discovered him. But Lula da Silva was actually in jail for.
That's right. He had been in office before, right? And convicted.
He was in office before and convicted of money laundering. And it was this Supreme Court justice that got the case reconfigured in court to get him out of jail to run for president. So, I mean, think about that. That's like the court being led by Mayorkas and him working with Biden in the DOJ in order to get Hunter out of jail to run for office. It's that crazy.
It is, and the opposite is true, too. That's what I saw. Part of what bothered me so much at the federal courthouse in D.C. last week when I went to testify for this Lavrence gal, I'm telling you, man, it is very much a political party and the justice system working together to persecute their opposition. So where you're talking about a situation where they work together to get their guys out and get them back in power, the opposite's happening here. They're using the DOJ and the FBI and the court system in D.C. to persecute these people. And it is so stacked, Lance. I mean, due process is lost in these trials. And these are thousands of people being persecuted. You won't believe this. They would not even let Rebecca, the defendant, who's the praying grandma. Everybody's seen her now.
And how old is she? She's like 72 years old or something like that. Grandma. Prayer warrior grandma from Colorado gets in her car to go to Washington, walks
in for 5 days.
Fasting. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, the police open up the door. She goes in, talks to him, blesses him, prays for 9 minutes, 58 seconds, walks out. And before you know it, the FBI is putting shackles on her in the front lawn, parading her out to trial and sending her to prison. She is the face now of rewriting the narrative of January 6th. And you were at that trial. I got 56 seconds. Give us a quick soundbite on it.
Well, they would not even allow her or me as a witness or anybody on the defense side to talk about the First Amendment, Lance. You could not mention freedom of speech, right to assemble, right to petition your government for redress or grievance. The very thing she's there for and that they're persecuting her for, you couldn't talk about. So the jury is only getting the narrative of the left. They're only getting this show trial, and they're preventing anything else. And the judge went along with preventing any of the defense discussions to even get in front of the jury, which is why, of course, she was convicted just like all the rest. 100% conviction rate, and that's why, because they're controlling everything that gets to the jury, and they're not even allowing for the possibility of someone to be acquitted. And I told her, I'm glad you didn't get acquitted, because had you been acquitted, people would think the justice system is working, which it's not. And she is a champion, man. She loves the Lord. She's a great witness, and she's out there saying, hey, I was there to pray for my country. I'm just trying to be a good citizen. She's one of my Constitution coaches, and she's literally there just to live out her freedom.
She's one of your coaches. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're on Real America's Voice. We're going to come right back with Rick Green. I want to pick this story up about this. We're going to see a reframe of the January 6th narrative right before our eyes, because I think the whale swallowed Jonah, and they're going to have to reframe this story. We'll be right back. I want to take a moment to talk about the volatile financial time that we're in. And I want you to empower yourself with knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. Visit lancewalnut.com/birch and get a free information kit. Consider discussing how to shift your 401k or your retirement account into a tax-sheltered gold and silver account. Why don't you go to lancewalnut.com/birch right now and take action for a secure future. Welcome back to the Lance Wallnow Show. I have Rick Green as my guest right now. Rick, you, for those that aren't tracking on the story because they aren't all watching the news cycle like you and I do, Rebecca Lavrence, that's her name. She's a grandma.
Colorado
grandma, prayer warrior, fast 5 days, goes up to, in order. She felt the Lord told her to go up and pray and let. And basically, this was I was there on January 6th in Washington. We were treating this as though, dear God, America's in the balance. Let this be an election justice moment where enough people show up so as to cause a pause on the Hill to evaluate whether or not this election is legitimately established, or whether we need more time to test whether or not this has been fraudulently done in certain places. America needs to know this is legitimate. And then we have the January 6th situation. So where was the trial taking place? Was it in D.C.?
Yeah, right downtown D.C., man, in the federal courthouse there. You know, and this is a lady with just an incredibly sweet spirit. You know, her family's amazing. She's just incredible. She actually ended up taking one of my Constitution classes back in early 2020, got fired up, said, I want to be a better citizen, became a Constitution coach, started going to some of the rallies and started getting involved. And then when the election debacle happened, she said, you know, I want to be my voice heard, and I want to go pray over the Capitol. She literally fasted for 5 days, prayed around the Capitol grounds, spoke on one of the stages there outside where they were having some of this stuff happen. And she said, you know, if the doors are open, I'm going to go in. If they open the doors, I'll go in. She didn't break anything. She didn't climb over anything. She literally, once the barriers had been removed, she walked in, prayed for 10 minutes and left the Capitol. And I'm telling you, Lance, that courtroom, it was so obvious that the oppression and the persecution that was taking place. Four DOJ attorneys and the head of the counterterrorism from the FBI spending 10 days to go after a praying grandma at the Capitol. Just think about the money that's being spent, because multiply this by 1,000, right? Think about the time. Think about the chilling effect on anyone participating in the process. And this is exactly, you know, you go back to the book of Isaiah, it says, I'll give you lawyers at the beginning, judges at the first, then you'll be the righteous city. We don't have lawyers and judges at the beginning. These are not people that believe in blind justice, equal justice, what we would call biblical justice, which means you treat everybody the same, neither Jew nor Greek, rich and poor. Everybody's treated the same in court. It's not what we have. We have social justice where everybody's judged based on their political affiliation, color of their skin, whether they're rich or poor, what part of the country they're from. It's evil, it's wrong, and they own the system in D.C. And the only thing that's going to change any of that is a Donald Trump coming in and wiping out the DOJ and the FBI and starting over and pardoning all of these J6 defendants that have been wrongly prosecuted.
Mercedes Sparks, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was wondering, Rick, where does she go from here? What can she, you know, what's her recourse here?
Well, she's got until August, I think it's 12th, that they're going to sentence her. They're going for a year. They want to put her in jail for a year. I think the likelihood is she gets probation. These are four misdemeanors. I mean, they're literally misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think they'll give her probation. But you know, they may be so wrongheaded. The fact that they would go after her even and prosecute this is crazy. So maybe they are going to try to get actual jail time. And until you get a new president and a new administration, there's not a lot she can do. She can appeal. It's going to go to the First Circuit there in D.C., which is not a great court for conservatives either. But I just don't see even an appeal happening before a January pardon should Trump win the election. I think that's probably her next step of recourse. And I'll say this. The judge actually says at the end of the trial, this is so disgusting to me. I know this was difficult, but now you can get back to your life. What? What? You've just convicted me of all these things? My life is turned upside down. Now, thankfully, she's a believer and she's doing the Romans thing. All things work together for good. And, you know, she's got a bigger platform now to speak truth about what's happening in the country. So God's using it for good. But the idea that he would even say that, you can get your life back to normal, that tells you where these people are. All they wanted was the show trial. They want to intimidate you and intimidate me.
I will predict that she will get probation. Here's the reason why. They wouldn't cover this story anywhere on the liberal news networks. Do you know why?
Right.
They know this looks bad. When you go after grandmoms for 10 minutes in the Capitol for praying, it's lousy optics. It endangers your whole narrative about this. We're going to send a message to these dangerous radicals, right-wing extremists. And I think they're already calculating this might have been the wrong case for us to put on the milk box as the poster child of January
6th. And had she been acquitted, they would have been able to say, see, the system works. You know, everybody
they're not capable of that. They're not capable. Yeah. It takes them a little while to feel the pain. But the pain happens. It happens when the media starts to pick up on the fact that a populist narrative is drumming its way towards them. Like, what the heck's going on? I'm sorry to say, the moment Rogan gets this story and starts dropping F-bombs, you're gonna have the real danger, which is the younger male vote that's moving towards Trump, the minority Latino and black male vote that's moving towards Trump, because they're all part of that, that secular culture going, what's this, a grandma now? That's where that's gonna go.
Even from the left. Did you see I forget the guy's name. He's the main Young Turks guy.
Senth Unger.
Yeah, he came out and said, I'm looking at RFK, man. I'm tired of Democrats rigging the system. And he was talking about in the election, not allowing RFK in the debates and pushing him out and all that. He's literally lambasting the Democrats. He's been a longtime Democrat operative, and he's saying that they're broken and that they aren't listening. And this justice system issue to middle of the roaders out there, it's one of those things that moves the needle for sure.
It moveth the needle. By the way, I want to get to big story this week, and a lot of people need to get this clear. Donald Trump on the abortion stand. Of course, you got the ever righteous Mike Pence, who couldn't wait to pounce on Trump. Nothing Mike does is going to rehabilitate him. He does more damage to himself every time he talks. But I want you to catch this. I did a 1.5-minute summary of Trump's statement on abortion. This is the one issue the left is going to run on. They've already decided. They've got certain states they've got to win, and they're going to win with the female vote on the reproductive rights agenda, distorting the issue of abortion so that they can get the emotional vote to Trump, literally, to eclipse the border, the economy, and the destruction of America in other ways. Watch what Trump says here, and then we're going to talk about what is the real political impact of this strategic move.
Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the 9th month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people.
So I haven't had a chance to talk to you, Rick, about this. Well, let me just give my opinion first, since it's my show. I get to have my own opinion. And here's my opinion on the matter. And by the way, my opinion is typically correct on these things. Here's what I believe. A lot of Christians are moralistically, let's say, they do not understand that when it comes to the battle of public persuasion, which is what Wilberforce did in order to eradicate slavery, he said over his life of like 50 years, eradicating slavery, he said, we must sustain a pattern of persuasion publicly in order to move the needle so that people understand what the issue of slavery is. And it was a lifetime that he spent doing that. What I think happens when you've got like a Mike Pence that says, oh, this is a total compromise on a slap in the face to the pro-life people. What we have to realize is we made a mistake. And we Rick, you've been on shows like this with me where we're celebrating Roe v. Wade came down. And to the average uninformed Christian, abortion has been ended in America. No, abortion wasn't ended in America. A bad law that was in the Supreme Court was shot down saying it wasn't the right of the court to make a national decision where states have the authority to make this decision. So the battle goes to the states. And if you think the Christian community, which it may be completely right on its moral stand on life in the womb, if you think that you're going to win at an election when you can't even win the battle in your own state, the real wake-up call for me was when the states started taking the issue, like Ohio and other states, and beating down the pro-life people because our people aren't prepared to make the battle of public persuasion coherent. We don't vote. Yeah. We're not persuasive. We're not informed. And you can't just eradicate something like, what, gay marriage because you disagree with it. You actually have to make a case, and then the mechanisms of government get behind you. If Trump had gone down to, a ban at a certain weak point, at a point of weeks, he would have been playing into the hands of the left, and already they're going to make this their primary issue right now, which is the abortion issue. So how do you see that, and how do you work that out, Rick?
Yeah, man, so much of what you just said, 100%. I think back to this 2016 race when they were in, I think it was a second, maybe the third debate, I can't remember, when partial birth abortion came up. And, you know, Hillary defended it, of course. And Donald Trump was just like in a visceral reaction, a knee-gut reaction, saying, knee-jerk reaction, just saying, this is wrong, man. This is evil. You're killing a baby when it's halfway born. And, I mean, he really won me over at that point. I know that was late in the election. At that point, I was supporting him to not support Hillary. At that point, I thought, this guy's instincts are right. Think about what just happened there, Lance. The most watched man on the planet. All right, more people are getting, both sides pay attention to what he says than anybody else alive today. And the most watched man on the planet just got through describing the death of a baby and how evil abortion is. That's persuasion. He's doing exactly what you're talking about. He's using the platform to start winning people over to the life side while winning the political argument as well. I can't, you know, I'm with you. I'm like, why is everybody on our side, on the pro-life side, complaining about this? They should be saying, thankfully, he's using his voice to articulate how evil abortion is, while saying, and he's right, there's no way politically you're going to outlaw abortion completely in all 50 states. It's not going to happen. If the Supreme Court gave a ruling of that, it wouldn't happen in a bunch of these really left-wing states.
It's hard to believe we've actually run out of time. This happens. It happens when you're moving fast. We covered a lot of ground. We're going to be picking up this conversation again tomorrow and get the rest of it. But for those of you that are interested in saving the Republic, what can I do, Lance? I'm glad you asked that question. You can go to thecouragetour.com. Thecouragetour.com, because I got a feeling that the future belongs to the courageous. Thecouragetour.com will show you where we're going to be meeting with powerful gatherings of signs and wonders and miracles with Mario Murillo in the evening, reformational teaching and preaching with people that you'll recognize during the day. That prophetic reformer spirit and that evangelistic revival spirit is a transformation elixir. It's the essence of the Great Awakening coming your way. Go to thecouragetour.com and find out where we're going to be in Georgia, going to be in Wisconsin, going to be in Michigan, going to be in Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Carolina. You never know where we're going to show up, and you don't want to find out we were there after we leave. Thecouragetour.com, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.